It's called heaven. We're going to call the message to celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We'll have a little course of Civics 101 about that, how God has been good to us these 244 years. But then we're going to hopefully end up and look at the thought of the Day of Deliverance. Oh, it's been good to be in America all of my life. Travel abroad and couldn't hardly wait to get back to America every time I travel abroad. Thank God for America. Yes, we got our problems. We have a God that's going to deliver us from all our problems, from all our enemies. First of all, let's look at the fact that the Declaration of Independence, a little Civics 101. Remember, I don't know if this is taught much in public schools anymore. I surely hope it is. If not, it's a good refresher for us. On July the 2nd, 1776, the Second Continental Congress met in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania State House and signed the resolution. And then 2 days later, of course, they signed the Declaration of Independence. Listen to the first part of that. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Then in 1787, the Constitution was written by 55 delegates. They met in the same place in the Constitutional Convention in the summer of 1787 at the same location. Lord sent me to that location a few years ago to pray. I spent the whole day there. That's where the Liberty Bell is, the original Liberty Bell, and the house, the Pennsylvania house, is still there. Get to tour it and look at all the artifacts there and pray. And thank God for our heritage. We celebrated that yesterday, Declaration of Independence. And then Constitution. Let me read the preamble to the Constitution. We're very familiar with it. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and their posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Then, of course, after the Constitution was written, same place, it was in the Pennsylvania House in Philadelphia. But then things changed, and for a while they hadn't even started building the Congressship, it was started in 1789, or started in 1791, and complete in year 1800. But before that, 2 years after the sign of the Constitution, they shifted from the Pennsylvania House in Philadelphia to New York City. And there they met in the Washington building. And we're going to read the First Amendment that was adopted in 1791. Remember the Bill of Rights now. The first Bill of Rights, 10 amendments. And we quote and read and thank God for the first one. We thank God for all of them. And then, of course, over the years, others have been written and ratified by the state. But listen to the First Amendment that we hold dear to our hearts in 1791. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. We look at Civics 101 regarding our past 244 years, how our country was established. We believe that God was the author. We believe that God sent our forefathers over here. And to tell you the truth, we've made a mess of it, haven't we? Still a great place. Thank God for the song service this morning. We have a place to look forward to. Right now, we're in this world, and God has helped us. He's got us this far. He surely is going to get us all the way home. So now we're going to shift for the from the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, of course, which those amendments are a part of the Constitution. And we're going to concentrate on a future day of deliverance. And to get us started in that, we're going to have a beautiful song again, Brother Randy, Miss Tiffany, and Brother Randy's sister. And we appreciate the goodness of God, Miss Marcia. Join them this morning for a beautiful rendition, and you're going to enjoy this. Thank God for this beautiful song.
Here we are, so often filled with heartache. So many times we weep when loved ones pass. A place the gloom of death can't enter, and someday it will be my home at last. When he calls me to that land of no tomorrow, where grief and tears are gone without a trace, and I'll carry them no more when he carries me away. I have cried a river in the darkness, and I have known the loss of precious dreams. Soon there will be perfect joy and gladness. All suffering will be gone from memory. When he calls me to that land of no tomorrow, where grief and tears are gone without a trace, down all my troubled cares and sorrow, and I'll carry them no more when he carries me away. No more curse of sin, no more doubts within. I will say goodbye to all of them. When he calls me to that land of no tomorrow, where grief and tears are gone without a trace, I'll lay down all my troubled cares and sorrow, and I'll carry them no more when he carries me away. I lay down all my troubled cares and sorrow, and I'll carry them no more when he carries me away.
Thank you so much for that introduction to the message. The day of deliverance, the day he carries us away beyond all the sorrows, all the discomforts, all the things that's going on. We do thank God for the past 244 years. He may give us another extended period of time. We don't know, but we know someday soon he's going to carry us away to the day of deliverance. First of all, I want to look at the conditions on earth now. The song writer said that we have all these problems, we're going to be carried away from them. Let's just summarize a little bit about the conditions on earth right now. We'll look at six different categories. First of all, let's look at the spiritual sense that we're going through right now. We have the ability to worship, and we have the ability to win souls for Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there is a warfare going on. The evil one is in this world. We know the Lord's soon coming, but greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And so now we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual sense of what's going on in this world today. But then there is a lot of separation going on in this world today. There are deaths. Many of you have experience in your family, your children, your loved ones, your parents, your grandparents, your brothers and sisters. And there has been the death that has temporarily separated us from them. Of course, in that day of deliverance, we'll be carried up to join with them and then forever be with the Lord. Not only a separation, but we see diseases have separated us. It's so sad now that when someone gets sick with a disease or surgery or anything, we're going through separation. They go in the rest home, they go in the hospital, and we can't go join them. Oh, but there's going to be a day of deliverance to get us above all that. But right now, we're going through separation. But remember the song, a day that he will carry us away. That's what I'm looking forward to. This is not a message of looking down on things, but it's a message that will get us to look up, because soon. And not only that, but we have deaths and diseases, but there we're going through drought. See what I mean? It's been raining all over the place. Yeah, but the Bible says in the last days there will be a famine for the hearing of God's word. You and I are going through that drought period right now. It's not a lack of preaching of the word of God, but it is a lack of hearing the word of God in the inner man, in the soul. So yes, we're going through separation of deaths, diseases, and drought. But then there are storms. We'll be carried away from the storms. There are storms of life, which is common to every man. The Lord sometimes sends those storms. Remember, Jesus sent his disciples on the sea, and then he was praying on the mountain for them, but then he sent a storm to their ship to teach them that I'm always available. And the storms raged, and they were roaring, but they would get nowhere. And God sends storms in our lifetimes, and we try without him to make it, but we're not going to make it without him. And then we realize, if only he's there, and he told the disciples, if I had not been invited on board your ship, I would have went on. How many times has God been present in your storm and my storm, and we didn't recognize it? And we just kept on rowing and kept on going on our own. And all he wanted to do was get on board our vessels and say those beautiful words, peace, be still. He calms the storms of life. But now we have them. We're going through present day storms of our liberty. Our liberties. We read the First Amendment to our Constitution, which was the first of the Bill of Rights. But we see we are painfully and slowly begin to lose those liberties. And so there's a separation. And there are storms of life. But then we're going through storms of love. How you figure that, preacher? In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, and the love of the family, love of brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, separated. We're going through such times where people that once said, I love you, and now, years later, they don't love anymore. And Jesus said, the reason being, you've left your first love. When we first were invited to come to the throne of God, and we repented of our sins, we knelt and confessed our sins, and God saved us and secured us. Oh, but that love, after a while, so many times people depart from that. And there are conditions that's going on in this world. Not only spiritual sense, separation, and storms. Look at the security. The security we have now seems to be lawlessness in the streets. You watch the news reports. You read the paper. You talk to other people that's been there. And it seems like the lawlessness overcomes. And I was thinking this morning and yesterday, when we celebrated Declaration of Independence, all we have many here this morning, people that have went off and fought battles and risked their life and were on harm's way on the battlefields. And then they come back to, and they're fighting for a freedom, and our freedom has been won, but they're coming back to America, and we're going through this separation, and we're going through this security breach in our nation of lawlessness. And I'm sure if you're their soldier fighting on a foreign battlefield and you come back home and say, I fought for security, now where is it? Oh, but there's going to be a day of uplifting, a day of recognition that Jesus is Lord of all. Not only the security, but there's a loss of jobs, no security in that anymore, loss of bank accounts, loss in the stock market. Oh, we're going through all that time, but cheer up. There's a day coming that we're going to be carried away from all these heartaches and all these troubles. And then we look to the future. And the future, to tell you the truth, looks a little grim, doesn't it? Oh, but we will overcome this pandemic, and we may. But at the same time, I believe God is teaching us a lesson. I know He's teaching us a lesson that we have Him, and we have only Him to look to. We look to government. We look to ourselves. But there's none other to look to through the storms of life and for the security that we need except in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, not only the spiritual sense, the separation, the storms, and the security, but let's look at the serenity. The serenity or the tranquility, the quietness, the contentment. I remember as a child, there was so much contentment and so much tranquility around our household. And I know we didn't have telephones, and I know we didn't have means of communication too much with the outside world. I remember as a little boy, I was born in 1943, and I didn't know there was a war going on, the Second World War, but we had one battery radio, didn't have electricity in those days where I lived. And I remember about dusk dark in the fall of the year and in springtime that Mom and Dad and my grandpa and grandma would say, hush, boys, we got to hear this. And they'd turn on that battery radio, didn't let it play long because you didn't have a replacement battery or a way to charge it. And then after they heard the news, it got awful quiet. And I, even as a little boy, 3 or 4 years old, I could sense something's not right. And no doubt they were listening to all the stories in Europe and how things were faltering. But God delivered us from that. Thank God for His peace. And then there were other wars. Oh, but the serenity seemingly is not there anymore. Not only the serenity has been faded away, but the panic. If you read the papers and you watch TV, you see a panic in all sorts of life. And under God, let's not us children of God panic, because we are looking for that blessed hope. Songwriter, and they so beautifully sang, a carrying away from all these troubles. And then there will be serenity, there will be contentment. Aren't you looking forward to a place called heaven? And then the paranoia, or distrust. No one trusts anyone anymore. And I guess you really can't. The news media sometimes, I don't know what's in their mind, but I know whatever comes out of their mouth doesn't come to pass. It's not like that at all. So we don't trust the media, and we don't trust this, and we don't trust that. But I wonder if the world trusts you and I that says, hey, we worship a God. We may be going through panic. We may be going through storms. We may be going through paranoia. But at the same time, we're looking for a blessed hope and that wonderful day of deliverance. And not only that, we're going through pandemics such as the world has never known. We've dwelt enough on the negatives this morning, and I only wanted us to dwell on the negative long enough to give us the assurance and to give us the immediate knowledge that there is a God that's going to come and deliver us and sweep us away to a place called heaven for that day of deliverance. Let's talk about that for the next little bit. We've seen the conditions on the earth. I want to look forward at the coronation day. Coronation, the act or the occasion of crowning. Oh, that coronation day when he calls us home and carries us away. There's going to be a day of crowning. We're going to crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we thank God for that day. But not only the coronation day means the act or occasion of crowning, but it means ascension to a higher level. We're going through these conditions of life that we talked about, the conditions upon planet Earth. And if you say, well, America's sadly getting worse and worse, and you think we'll all go to another place on planet Earth where it'll be better? I don't know of any, do you? Because of this condition all around the world, because of sin. But well, let's look forward to that coronation day. Let's read the passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Let's look at our ascension to heaven. That coronation day, remember, means going to a place. Songwriter says carried away, ascension, going up to a place called heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Isn't that wonderful? The coronation day when he carries us away and we ascend with him on high, we're going to meet our loved ones that's already departed. Those people that may have been dead a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10, right before we go up, they'll come out of the graves and we'll barely be behind them forever and ever to be with the Lord. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. They will precede us just a second, maybe less than a second. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comforting words. We've looked at the conditions on earth that weren't very favorable, although we do thank God for America. It's worse in other places, I'm sure. So let's pray for America that we will hold to those truths that their forefathers, those 55 men that were assembled and wrote the Declaration of Independence, although only, I believe, 39 signed it, but it was approved. There were 74 on that council, the second Congress, but only 55 showed up. There's a lot of political unrest back in those days, as there is now. I always have been. But thank God we're going to be carried away from all those problems. And the Bible says we'll be carried away, ascension, forever and ever be the Lord. Now, if there's an ascension and a leaving, there must be an arrival. So let's read about the arrival. We've read so far about we're here and we're going up. I broke my wrist a few years ago, and the surgeon down in South Carolina put a steel plate in there. Thank God for that. It was pretty twisted up. And then it started hurting. I went back to him a couple of times. He said, well, that metal plate's not doing any good anymore. We need to take it out. I said, that's another surgery. I want to do that. I planned on losing it in the rapture. When we go up in my glasses, and by the way, you know, the Lord gave us two wonderful ears and ear lobes, but I wear glasses, I wear a microphone, and I wear hearing aids, and the ear was only designed for so much. So it's a constant problem. But one of these days, as I'm ascending up on high, I don't know how long it's going to take to you. Jesus, remember, when he was resurrected, it just took a little bit for him to get to heaven. That's a long way away. We're going to be in the clouds with him. He's going to take us all the way up to a place called heaven, in the third heaven. Through the second heaven, where the birds are in their first heaven, the birds fly in their clouds, beautiful cloud covers, beautiful sunrises, beautiful sunsets. But then beyond that, all the stars and all the planets, second heaven. I don't know how long we'll be lingering, but as we're going, we'll be changed. We'll drop all our glasses and hearing aids and microphones and all the metal that's in our body, perhaps. And he's going to give us a new body, a glorified body. And then we'll arrive in a place called heaven. Let's read about that. In Revelation chapter 4, their arrival in heaven. Oh, God's gone now. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare for you a place. But when it's prepared, I will come back. And we will ascend with him in the clouds. And as we're going, we'll be changed. We don't even have time to look back this morning at all those people that didn't go. Maybe I'll take about 30 seconds to do that. I'm concerned about those. We have dwelt mostly this morning on our ascension. We're going to deal with our arrival, but I don't know if we'll look back or not. We'll lose all the tears. And all former things are passed away, but back on earth, the earthlings that did not know Jesus would not bow, would not surrender, would not come to the knowledge of him because of pride or disbelief, whatever it was, they'll be left behind. The Antichrist will take position, and the world will go through chaos. This pandemic will look like a candy store compared to what they're going to go through. Oh, well, would to God that they would get saved, because the Lord could come at any time. But now let's look for a few minutes at our arrival in the place called heaven. Revelation 4, verse 1. John doing the writing. And as he is carried up to a place called heaven, he's writing because this is the church. A picture of the church when we're raptured. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. By the way, there's only one door. And that's Christ Jesus is the door. Enter through the straight gate. Other people try many ways to get to heaven. There's only one way. Through by death, burial, resurrection, shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We bow, we confess, we surrender, and then he writes our name. And then he will come and he'll call our name and we will ascend to him. And now let's look at the arrival. And this, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open to heaven, and the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald. The first thing John saw, he tells us the first thing we'll see on our arrival in the place called heaven. We'll see Jesus, of course. And then we'll see the throne. The throne where all power is, all majesty is. Have you ever, when you're traveling, you try to visualize what it's going to be like? And even down here on earth, you know, the first time you go to a place, the Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon, you've seen pictures of it, but it's nothing like. It's more majestic, most of it, than the pictures you see. Well, we've never even seen a picture of heaven. We have a pretty good description, though. He's going to go, and you and I is going to arrive in a place called heaven, and there are the God of this universe on the throne, Christ Jesus on the throne. And round about, verse 3 says, upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald. And then we don't have time to go through the rest of the book of Revelations, of course, to see that all the rejoicing, the open book where our names are recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Remember, no man could open the book, but there was a Lamb that prevailed. Lamb from the tribe of Judah. and he opened that book. And if your name has ever been recorded there, hell can't get through to blot it out. It's there. Peter says it's kept by the power of God. Our salvation is ready to be revealed in the last day upon our arrival in a place called heaven. And there we'll see him, the glory. Let's look at how we will be arrayed in fine linen. We looked at our ascension. We've looked at our arrival. Let's look at how we will be arrayed in that fine linen. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and there's a voice of many waters, and there's a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of a lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. We're that bride of Christ, that he has caused us to ascend to him, and upon arrival we see him on the throne. And there we're told about this wedding. But let's look at the array that the bride has, that you and I. Verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is righteousness of the saints. Remember, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, but we have been imputed and dwelt with his righteousness. And there will be on display with the fine linen, represents and is the righteousness of the saints. He has enough righteousness, enough right, enough correctness to spread, and we'll have of his righteousness when we didn't have any, the righteousness of the saints. And he saith to me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That day upon arrival, see Jesus, to bow at his feet, to be arrayed in fine linen, the righteousness of the saints, and then the marriage supper where Christ Jesus serves us. He girds himself and he serves us. And while we're there with him those 7 years before he returns to earth, a glorious time, a glorious wedding reception. So we looked at the conditions on earth. We've looked at the coronation day. And we know that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. There's a song that's been on my heart. I'll try to sing it. I've been reading my Bible. I've been listening to some beautiful stories that I know are true. All that beautiful country and the city four square. Yes, I've heard about heaven, and I want to go there. I have heard about heaven, and I want to go there, where the beautiful flowers bloom so wonderfully fair. I have heard about a mansion far beyond compare. Yes, I've heard about heaven, and I want to go there. When my journey is over, I'll be ready to go to that city eternal where pure waters flow. There will be no more crying. there will be no more death. Yes, I've heard about heaven, and I want to go there. Would you all stand? If you know it, help me sing. I have heard about heaven, and I want to go there, where the beautiful flowers bloom so wonderfully fair. I have heard about a mansion far beyond the sky. I have heard about heaven, and I want to go there. Your heads are bowed, the altar is open. We've seen the conditions upon this world. In summary, they're not favorable. In tragedy, after our ascension, upon our arrival, this place is not going to be fit for anything to live. You know people that's going to be here because they haven't bowed to Jesus. You need to pray for them. If you're not right with the Lord in every respect, you don't have the contentment and the peace that only God can give. Seek it where you may be found. I want to go to heaven. And I'm going by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Would you come? Brother Rand, you have a song of invitation.